Well, good evening, all. Welcome to the City of Tukwila's Finance and Governance Committee meeting for Monday, May 23rd. I am joined remotely by Councilmember Crawler, who's there.
And I'm going to stop my video unless you need me to save batteries and to save signal. I'm in Wash Tukwila.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for being here.
No problem.
All right. We're going to get started. We have a pretty diverse agenda. And so, go to business agenda item A. And Councilmember Crawler, if you want to put yourself on mute, we can still hear you.
Thank you.
Yep. And we are going to start with Mr. Rosen.
Good evening, council members. For the record, David Rosen, Parks and Recreation Department Fiscal Analyst. I will state I apologize, at least on my screen, you guys, your video feed is frozen. So if you have questions or anything, feel free to just jump right in and interrupt. I can't see any movement on you guys right now. Real quick, our item that we have here before us is a bit of a housekeeping item coming out of the 411 Golf Course Fund. How this came about really is we were doing some research into our revenue streams and our capital planning for the 411 Golf Fund, and we were looking through an old City of Tukwila revenue guide. Vicki, it might have been a 2019 edition or something along those lines, and we noticed a line referring to admissions tax being kept within the 411 fund. So that led to us researching through the Tukwila Municipal Code and other documents we had, and we noticed that a change that had been proposed, which started in the 1920 budget biennium, that was to keep admissions tax revenues within the 411 fund as opposed to sending them into the general fund. That code change that had been proposed had not, in fact, occurred. We still are having admissions tax revenues being kept within the 411 fund since FY19 through FY20, 21, and now in FY22. We just haven't updated our code within the TMC to meet current practice. So we're looking just to do a quick housekeeping deal here with this ordinance, apply the language to state that in the 1920 biennium, this practice started. Have any of those acts that occurred retroactively be ratified and agreed with by council, and just to keep Tukwila Municipal Code current with current financial practices that are already occurring.
Great. Still can't see us? I think we're having some technical difficulties over here.
I just see a still of you guys. I don't see any movement.
Oh, wow. Excellent. Okay. And thank you for putting the minutes in here. So on page 3, it kind of it captures the meeting and the decision. And so this is consistent with that. And based on how it's written, I do like the last sentence on page 6, because it kind of leaves it open to if we choose to make another legislative change. But for now, you know, I think the intent was, can the golf course, if they kept the revenue streams, you know, kind of balance their sheets over there. So it seems like consistent, but it just never did get applied officially. And it's good for the auditor's purposes that our actions match our practices.
Yeah, so that was our intention. We had just kind of sort of caught it by chance due to looking through the revenue guide and going against the TMC. So really just wanted to make the change to get that up to date. Happy to answer any other questions, but just, you know, sort of quick housekeeping on our end.
Yep. And I will, I know Councilmember Crawler was there, but I'm just going to ask if you had any comments, or should we continue?
This is Kate. I actually am fine with the recommendation and no questions.
Thank you. All right. Well, we're going to, so we're going to forward it to the 613 COW for the special meeting on June 27th.
All right. Thank you very much for your time.
All right. And now we're going to move to business agenda item B, the 2021 year-end financial report.
Right.
Looking forward to this. We've been
all
talking
right.
about.
Yes. So Vicki Carlson, finance director, for the record. And just as an aside, I did ping our IT department to see if they could assist with what's going on with the camera. So we may get that resolved. We may not. But in the meantime, I will go ahead and start with my report. So my report starts on page 7 of the packet. So as you know, 2020 was an unprecedented year. That's when the pandemic started. The pandemic continued to affect city finances throughout 2021 and into 2022, but we did see improvement in 2021. Some of our city revenue sources and service levels continue to be affected, although not to the extent that they were in 2020, so that was the good news. Businesses were open the entire year, but we did experience part of the year where masking and proof of vaccination mandates were in effect for several months. That did affect some of our revenue sources. And really, while some of our revenue sources are starting to return to near pre-pandemic levels, others are not rebounding as quickly. Some of our main revenue sources, like sales tax, gambling tax, utility emission taxes, all have increased over 2020 results. However, sales tax, which is the city's largest revenue source, is still below 2019 levels. So while it is rebounding, it has not rebounded to the levels of catching up with what's going on with inflation. Business license revenue has returned to our expected levels. I do want to point out, as you look through some future graphs that I'll talk about later, 2020 did have a one-time spike due to timing of when licenses expired, and I'll talk more about that when we get into that. Culture and recreation fees were higher in 2020, but much lower than pre-pandemic levels. A lot of that has to do with restrictions on programming. We still have to have X number of staffing for people in attendance with the programs, and we're also trying to run more programs rather than renting the facility out, so there's a definite difference in those revenue sources. And we also use ARPA funds that were utilized to bring back several programs, and Ms. Hatley is going to be speaking to that in the next agenda item, so we'll get into those details there. Expenditures in the general fund were below budget, which is good news, but it was primarily due to vacancies throughout the organization. As policy, we always budget 100% for all authorized positions, but that doesn't mean that we can always fill them. And we had a number of vacancies throughout the city this last year, which contributed to the budget being considerably below budget. So some of the highlights that I want to point out is on general fund revenues totaled $67.2 million and expenditures were $62.9 million. Our unreserved fund balance in the general fund ended the year with $17.2 million. It does exceed our reserve policy requirements by about $5.6 million. However, I do want to point out that in the end of 2021, I don't know what you did, but there's back. Thank you.
Carry on. Thanks,
bud. Okay. So, anyway, so talking about the reserve fund, so we did exceed reserve fund policy by $5.6 million. But I do want to mention that at the end of 2021, through the budget amendment process, we did already allocate $1.45 million in 2022 for some one-time projects. So budget amendments we approved, $1.3 million was allocated to the Arterial Street Fund for the EIS Alternate Access Study, and $150,000 was allocated to the Economic Development Plan. Some other highlights that I want to just kind of mention, general fund departments, every single department did finish the year under budget. The biggest reason was, again, due to vacant positions. Enterprise funds all exceeded reserve balance requirements. As part of the public safety plan, which has been a big focus these last few years, the last facility was opened in January, which was Fire Station 52. We had a handful of other capital projects going on in the city that there was substantial work done on. We began a three-year investment in the South Center Business District for extensive sewer rehabilitation. Yes.
I just had a question. I wanted to go back to the point you made on, so we approved the budget and then we had a off-year budget adjustment of 1.4 million dollars, correct?
That is correct, yes.
And, but I think the point I wanted to make was budget planning. Can you say what contributed to, so one, we had a very conservative budget the last time around, and the economy came back, but also prudent kind of financial decisions that the previous budget committee made allowed for us to exceed our amount of money, I guess, that or under budget or something. I mean, whatever the best term is, but it was at a $5.6 million, or sorry, five.
Yeah, we exceeded our fund balance reserve policy by $5.6
million. $5.6
million.
So the economy kind of came back. Our prudent approaches kind of helped us weather, at least at the time, COVID. And so some of the activity came back, which then contributed to us having, and we did not expend any of our revenue dollars. As a matter of fact, we exceeded it. So
yes.
So with the minus the budget year adjustment of 1.4, we're at what, 4.2?
Yeah, roughly, yeah.
Of coming well under?
Coming under our budget projections. That $4.2 million is one time in nature. So it's again, it's due mainly to vacant positions. And we did have a couple other places in the budget where we came in under, below budget where we expected to. So it's one-time money. It's not ongoing
right.
revenue sources
right.
that can then be allocated in future years to one-time projects. That's
right.
the best practice for those types of funds.
Yep.
Yeah, when we built the budget back in 2020 for 21 and 2022, it's unprecedented times with the pandemic. We didn't know how long the pandemic was going to continue. We didn't know how long it was going to affect our revenue sources. And so the budget was drafted very conservatively, because there were so many unknowns in place at the time. And there are still unknowns.
Right. And I just recall, just thinking of Councilmember Crowler, like we really exercised what were the options. And we chose not to touch the reserves, which was a great idea. We chose to have a real conservative budget, which ended up being a great idea. And now to be at this end, it's just kind of reinforcing the decisions that we had to make, even though we were facing, you know, kind of a tough situation. And so I just think that that's an important thing to convey, because each budget is different. But because we had an approach, we took a conservative approach, but also we looked at services, and we still came out pretty well in this unknown, and I mean, everybody's unknown.
Yeah,
COVID.
I would say if I could just add on to what Councilmember Quinn just said is we made the very difficult decisions in the very beginning of the process, which I think leveraged us and set us up to be successful throughout the pandemic. Not all organizations made those hard decisions up front, and they're still struggling financially because of it. So this is going to set us up for future budgets moving forward. It's going to allow us to maintain our bond rating going forward. So the next time we issue debt, we won't be faced with a downgrade in our credit rating, which will be then less expensive for issuing debt going forward. So we definitely set us up for better success in the future going forward by making those hard decisions up front.
Okay. Sorry to interrupt, but I think you just made a really good point that we can emphasize as we go into the budget, that the only reason part of the reason contributing to where we are right now is because we made the decision early in the process.
Yes, and I will say that every budget process, we make those hard decisions, and that's why we always end up with a balanced budget, and we always end up with good results. Like when the pandemic started, we recognized a significant financial impact to the city, and we immediately dove in and started making those decisions. We didn't wait until after the fact.
Right.
So. The only other thing I wanted to point out on page 8 that I think is a highlight is we did refund two debt issues, the 2011 and the 2014 LPGO bonds, and that resulted in savings of just under $100,000 in annual debt service savings costs. I think that's worth repeating because that's in the tax. That's a savings.
And on that note, we anticipated that those bonds would come due, and our process was to pay them off. Are we setting up, as our schedule also factor in?
Yes. So yeah. The $97,000 savings, part of it was recognized in 2021, but it's also future savings as well, because what it did is refinance all of the outstanding debt. So it didn't pay any of the debt off, and it didn't shorten any of the payments, but it did lower the payments for that year as well as future years. Although I will say we did recognize more of the savings in 2021 than we will in the out years, but it's still a savings. So starting on page 11 of your packets, I want to go into a few more details. So on the general fund, we did have a budgeted revenue of $66.2 million. We came in at $67.2 million, which is just under $1 million in excess. We'll go through the various revenue sources, but again, the biggest change there was the gambling tax. And on the expenditure side, we had a budget of $65.5 million. We came in at $63 million. So significant savings there. There's really three areas that the savings were. Is number one, we had significant savings throughout the city for personnel costs. Our fleet equipment costs also came in significantly lower than expected. Those were really the two biggest reasons that there was a decrease. There's a third one, I think, what it is. Starting on page 12 of your packet, we have the various revenue sources that I just kind of want to point out a couple of highlights here. So the very top one, the taxes, the sales and use tax, you'll see 2019, 2020, and 2021. You'll see the significant gap in 2020 proper sales tax, where the blue line is the budget. We budgeted $20.5 million. It actually came in at $17 million. That's the significant effect of the pandemic. Coming back to 2021, again, we recognized just $18.2 million against a budget of $20 million. So just not quite hitting the budget, but you'll see that we are almost back to 2019 levels, which is good news, the sales tax rebounding. But again, it hasn't picked up the inflationary increases yet. Property taxes, those really aren't affected by the pandemic. Those really track very, very well. You'll see that both utility tax and interfund utility taxes for 2021, very, very close to budget.
Sorry to interrupt you again.
Yes.
Because I think this is a good point that we all kind of need to slow down and understand, is that in 2021, we are fairly close to pre-pandemic sales tax.
That is correct.
And ideally, that means the revenue that we receive to basically run the city and pay our bills is here, but the additional inflation will then drive up the operational side.
Correct. It drives up the expenditure side of the budget. We have not seen the inflationary increases in some of our revenue sources, and sales tax is the biggest one. Yes, it's rebounded, but it hasn't captured the inflationary piece yet, and that's why we have the big budget gap projected for 2023. I want to point out on page 14, the gambling and excise tax. That's where you see a significant difference. We had budgeted $3.3 million. It actually came in $1 million over. So the casinos did very, very well this last year. They did a very, very good job marketing their environment, and they came in great. You can see admission tax on the bottom of page 14 and license and permits on the top of page 15, tracking very, very close to budget. Building permits, less than expected. With building permits, it's very, very difficult to project building permits because the fee is based on not only the permit itself, but it's also based on the value of the permit. So we could have a lot of permit activity, but low value. So as a comparison, in 2021, we had the number of building permits higher than 2020, so 1498 compared to 1429, so more building permits, but the total value was lower, $82 million in 2021 versus $136 million in 2020.
So can we kind of further define that point? It means, tell me if I'm wrong here, but, you know, I'm redoing my deck, which is at a lower rate than a large development.
Exactly. It's okay. Where we get the high values when tenant improvements occur with a commercial property or a new commercial structure is being in place. So when we don't see that, that's when we can have a lot of activity,
right.
But the value's not necessarily there.
Right. So or people are fixing up their home to sell it. So minor things or maybe the assumption that in the pandemic time we're actually improving.
Yes.
Things that maybe they have put off.
Yep.
But the large development revenue generating projects just weren't coming in.
Correct. We had less of those.
Great.
I think that's really all that I really want to say. On page 16 and 17, we do have some charts just showing police department or departmental expenditures the last few years, and then general fund category by category, salaries and benefits versus supplies and services. And then again, just showing their ending fund balance information. And with that, I think I'll open up to questions. I really just wanted to cover the highlights.
Yeah, sorry. I was peppering you with questions. One question, because I was looking at these charts, which were very informative, and I was trying to find a trend. It seems there's some trends here, but it's not necessarily intuitive, right? One example is on page 14, where, you know, with the pandemic waning, admission taxes would go up, but it didn't go up quite enough. While at the same time, gambling went up. And, you know, just kind of looking at the property sales tax, like it's just hard to track. So are there things that we took away that could prepare us in case we head back into, you know, a shelter in place situation, how we prepare for kind of living with this situation that we have? Is there anything that we see here? Because I was just trying to glean.
Yeah, so that's a great question. And I would say this report is not where you're going to find trend information, because this is really only 3 years of information. We produced a revenue guide that we brought to City Council a few weeks ago. And I think that's where you're going to see the trends, because that shows 10 years of history for all of our major revenue sources. That's where you can actually start to see the trends and some of the explanations to why it'll show you the volatility in our revenue sources. And in some cases, it'll tell you, okay, we changed a fee at this point, and you can see the change in the revenue source. Sometimes it's just knowing the change in the business landscape. So, for example, with admission taxes, a significant bringer in of admission taxes is a Blockbuster movie. Well, in the past, we had two theaters. Now we have one theater. So that is going to affect our admission tax going forward. So it also has to do with the types of businesses that are within our city that are paying the city taxes, because not everything qualifies for an admission tax, as an example.
Yeah, and you know, those are kind of things that would be informative as we review economic development proposals.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Even though he's no longer on the council, I think Councilmember Kohler will appreciate this. Attachment A comes back around measuring trends. So thank you for that additional information. And he was right.
Yes, and we do have an attachment A. It's a six-year plan that will be part of the budget process. We have updated it, and we'll update it again, and that will be part of the budget conversation going forward.
Great. Go ahead.
So we're going to ask Councilmember Crawler for a comment.
Yeah. I wasn't sure. So I was trying to pair you on a couple things, but go ahead.
You did real good. I read the whole thing. I'm glad with for the updated report. I guess I want to go on record as a number of us council members have quoted you from another meeting that we're about $5 million, quote, in debt. That's if we ran based on the revenues and the expenditures of recent years. And so I just want to make sure you clarify that as we go into the budgeting season, that it's against the law for us to pass a budget that has a debt. It has to be balanced. And the only other questions I have is, do you think any of the changes we're going to make in the priority budgeting programs, is that going to be the primary way we balance the budget? Those are my two questions.
So to answer your second question first, my hope is that we can actually budget by program and make decisions based on program budgeting. As you know, council allowed the city to forward with our replacing our ERP system, and our new ERP system does have the ability to budget by program, which is very new for us, and we're actually working on configuring it right now. There's a lot of work that has to go into developing the system, but the system absolutely has the ability to budget by program and capture all of the traditional structure at the same time. So my hope is if we can set this up properly as we're rolling out the budget and you having budget discussions, we will be making those decisions on a program-based level.
And I just wanted to highlight for Councilmember Crawler, it seems like we're ahead of schedule because of that capability.
Yes.
Within the system. So that's actually really good.
Yes, but I will say it's a new system for us, and we are literally configuring the budget module as we're starting to draft the budget. So there's a lot of work that's going to have to go into the system to pull this off, but it absolutely has that capability. It's just a matter of if we can get enough of it built out in time for the budget. So that's the balancing act we have to do, is making sure we meet your desire to get the budget in front of you as quickly as possible, yet build it out enough to make the information coming forward meaningful.
And then Councilmember Crowley's first.
And sir, can you, yeah, can you repeat
the
question?
Just around the process in which we build budgets.
Oh, yeah, so we are required by law to produce a balanced budget. So we make those hard decisions every single budget cycle and every year through the budget amendment process. So as soon as we see that we have an issue, we bring it forward and we address it. And that's what we have always done, and that's what we will continue to do. So yes, right now, based on what we're seeing today, we do expect a significant gap in 2023. 2022 is balanced, but based on 2023, same level of service, same revenue sources, if we change nothing, we do expect a gap. As we get more information, as we get closer to bringing forward the budget, those numbers will be adjusted. We will know more mid-July when we get CPI, because that applies to all of our labor contracts, and that is the biggest portion of our budget. Once we know that, we will be able to finish drafting the budget and see what the true gap actually is.
And so I'll just take this opportunity, Councilmember Crawler, and Director Carson, will we call it a gap and not a budget deficit because we haven't started the budget?
Yeah. So yeah, I would say a gap now because it's not a deficit, because we will not bring forward a budget that is not balanced. It just won't happen. We will be making those hard decisions so that you have a balanced budget in front of you.
Councilmember Crowley, does that answer your questions?
Perfectly. Thank you.
Thank you, and thank you for those questions. Okay, I think we are going to move. Oh, so the request is to forward this to the today's COW meeting.
That is correct, and that's mostly because I will be at a conference next week, and I didn't want to delay having this in front of council well into July, so that's why I chose to go tonight. So
great, Councilmember Crowley, are you okay with that?
I am absolutely good with that, and I think the next item is discussion only, so I'm going to start moving. Okay.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right. I'll still be around. It's just if I drop off, you'll know why.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye.
So we're on item 1C, an update on the American Rescue Plan.
Thank you. I'm Julie Hatley, the city's ARPA funds analyst for the record, and I just want to thank you for this opportunity to talk about all the hard work we've been doing since I joined the city in January. What I'm going to be focusing in on is how the city spent the ARPA funds in 2021 and the allowable period that the U.S. Treasury wants us to do those expenditure recording under is March 3rd of 2021 to December 31st of 2021. So if you look at page 50 at the bottom of your packet, I'd like to share the breakdown of how we close out 2021 for ARPA. It shows the actual 2021 allocations that were made by the City Council, and that meeting occurred in November. And so to start off with, I just wanted to say that each expenditure meets ARPA compliance requirements and directly or indirectly benefits the visitors, residents, or business owners in our community. At the top is C-Click Fix, and we spent $15,689. And if you're not familiar with this tool, it provides web and mobile access to provide report issues to the city from the residents and business owners in the city. And there's a link there. If anybody has not gone out there, there's a link to access that tool. It's nice because it measures the response time by neighborhood to resolving issues. The next one is business assistance. And in 2021, they spent $10,000. And this was done to contract with the South Sound Chamber of Commerce to provide education, translations, and assist small business owners to complete their EIDL grant applications. So seven businesses did complete the application, and they had a lot of contact, and they translated into two languages for their outreach with emails. And in 2021, pre-ARPA in 2020 and 2021, business assistance did include assisting childcare businesses, 27 of them. Each one was given a $1,000 grant in 2020. They also sent out several emails, did telephone surveys, and over 900 emails with links for an online survey to get more information back on what their barriers are to being stabilized as a business. And for rent and utility assistance, the City Council did not need to allocate funds from ARPA to provide rent and utility assistance because there were already other funding sources in place. But I did want to let you know that individual households helped with 231, and the total rent assistance was $231,092. And the total utility assistance provided in 2021 was $46,255. ARPA funds will be used for rent and utility assistance in 2022 and has already begun. Darktrace cybersecurity was $21,909. And if you're not familiar with it, it applies artificial intelligence to detect and stop activity such as ransomware attacks on our network. It really does help protect our city finances and intellectual property.
Can I just say on that one, I think during the pandemic, we saw cities and other governments frozen for months because they had a cyber attack.
Yes. The next one is the build out of our council chamber and some conference rooms. This was important because we suddenly found ourselves needing to social distance, provide more online security, and provide a more equitable access to council chamber meetings and conference room meetings. So equipment was installed to improve the video audio access for our remote employees that had to be remote and also for our residents.
Is it fair to say that this would not have happened if we hadn't?
I would say that's very fair. We was definitely, it was not on our radar at that point in time.
The next category is leadership initiatives. And on the website, it still is being rebuilt to be called Leadership Initiative. The former name was Community Connectors. And web page planning for the newly named category of Leadership Initiatives is still being done. They expect their activities, which their goal is to develop and support Tukwila community leaders, they expect their first programming to begin in late summer of this year. And The next category is my own position, ARPA funds analyst. There was no allocation made by the City Council in 2021 for my position. And I started in January 2022, and my tasks are listed in the packet. Briefly, I go through every single receipt, invoice, voucher, make sure it's ARPA compliant, make sure it's been hitting the financial system correctly, reconciled, and I do all the reporting for the U.S. Treasury. And our next Treasury report is due April 30th, 2023, and I did submit, Vicki and I submitted the April 30th, 2022 U.S. Treasury report successfully. And summer camp is the next one, and this was important because it restored a portion of cut summer programs. 69 children participated in Camp Tukwili in 2021, and ARPA funds will be used in 2022 for summer camp as well for the Teen Venture Camp, and a new addition is preschool summer camp programming to address the decreased student readiness for school due to the pandemic. The before and after school program, it was restored in 2021 using ARPA funds. 40 students participated in after school programming from September to December 2021. And in 2022, the ARPA allocation will allow this department to actually restore the before school programming in addition to the already implemented after school programming. And it will fully bring back preschool offerings and expand them, as we discussed the purpose was to address the lack of readiness for school. And it will also restore winter camp. Park maintenance staff, really this one made a good impact for overall maintenance and safety and public health in our parks. It also allowed, with the additional hiring of these staff members using ARPA funds that were frozen, to reactivate the park shelter rentals. So that was a great community add back. The next category is permit processing staff that was brought back after being frozen due to the pandemic. Two staff members were brought back, and it really did help them reduce their backlog, ease a transition to their electronic permitting, which began in 2020, and improve their cross-training for their jobs. And for fire, there was overtime for minimum staffing levels, and that is noted there. And street maintenance staff, they restored two street maintenance positions that were frozen due to the pandemic. And the department reports that in early 2021, they were just trying to keep up with their community complaints. And the department is still trying to catch up with, you know, the work time lost due to the pandemic. But there is listed here a lot of work that they have been able to achieve with their restoration of, funds using ARPA, including increasing the timing of doing bus stop cleaning. Traffic calming is the last category, and this category was funded by ARPA for equipment and engineering to reduce traffic speed, vehicle collisions, and improve safety for pedestrians and cyclists. The total expended under ARPA for 2021 was $817,302. Unfortunately, this was below the City Council's allocation, which was a total of, for 2021, $904,500. So the actual expenditures were below the allocation by $87,198. And so this is how the ARPA funds were used in 2021 per the City Council's approved allocations.
Thank you.
And then I just want to talk just a little bit about next steps. So as Ms. Hatley mentioned, we do
before,
have a...
Before you do that,
yes.
Can I ask a question? Like, part of the reason why there's so much detail, is I'm assuming that that's consistent with your role of reporting and tracking. And so we have really this kind of return on allocation. This is what it was spent for. This is how we used it. This is how we measured it. So, and I know that there wasn't an allocation for the ARPA funds analyst, but that's what it's used for.
Yes, and I do want to mention too that yes, it is required to have this level of reporting when she reported to the federal government. But we also thought this was important to report back to the community on how we used the ARPA funds. So even if we hadn't been required to do it at the federal level, we still would have provided this level of detail because I think it's important to show this is how we use the ARPA funds.
Yeah.
And that it, you know, the vast majority of it went to benefit the community directly.
Thank you. Sorry,
didn't mean to. That's okay. So I just wanted to talk a little bit about next steps. So as Ms. Hatley already mentioned, the next reporting period, so it's an annual reporting period, so April 30th of every year. And so the next reporting period is not until April of 2023. But she's going to continue to work on monitoring all of the expenditures throughout the city because even though we report to the federal government annually, we still are audited by the state auditor's office who is going to do the compliance to make sure that we have followed all of the regulations set forward by the federal government. So she will continue to monitor that. Also, because this is a budget year, we're also going to be looking at some of our various revenue sources and seeing if we can't do the analysis to figure out how the pandemic has affected the revenue sources and how the pandemic might continue to affect the revenue sources so that we can hopefully fine-tune our revenue projections a little better for 2023 and 2024. So she's going to be working on that as well. The other thing that we've talked about doing is, again, this is one of those things, a lot of great ideas, but, you know, do we have the bandwidth to do this? Is now that we have the Balancing Act tool that we're going to be looking for community input into our budget for next year. We're also thinking about doing a simulation in the budgeting in this Balancing Act tool on next for 2023 and 2024. How do we want to spend the remaining ARPA funds and community input that way, too? So that's something we're looking into, and hopefully we can do that in the near future. And with that, if you have any other questions.
I definitely want to thank you for the presentation. And then also, I just remember last year at this time, Council President Crawler, you know, also made time for us to be familiar with ARPA. So I know she's some of our committee of the whole time to make sure that we understand the role of ARPA. And I think we were all, as council members, very sensitive that we wanted to expend things right and not expend it if there was even a question about how you could use it. And I think, again, it shows up here in the reporting. So, all right. I think we've come to the conclusion of our agenda. More questions will come. I think we'll also be looking for a lot more detail and the allocation. I do have one question. Our anticipated ARPA allocations to me. And as you said, we might use some of the information to kind of drive it, but I'm assuming we're headed towards, we come out of the pandemic that, you know, these ARPA dollars, we're just expecting them to not be there in the future.
That is correct. The original plan, when we chose to restore the service levels that we did, the thought behind that is that we would use ARPA funds as a bridge until our existing revenue sources could get caught back up to pre-pandemic levels. I will say all of those discussions happened prior to the inflation that we're experiencing right now. So as we go through the budget process, that will definitely be part of our conversation, you know, and how much ARPA can we continue to use to restore service levels, and at what point do we expect that to go away, and will our existing revenues come back enough to backfill ARPA? So those will be part of those hard decisions and conversations we have later on this fall.
Yeah, the money does not go, it goes less far than it did the first time around.
Correct.
And then will the revenues be there if that all stabilizes out, but yet you still have that. Hopefully one time, hopefully short cost of inflation.
Yeah, and unfortunately we continue to be in unprecedented times. And so that's what we're going to be using our panelists for, to do some of that research to see if we can't develop a little bit of a crystal ball here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. We will conclude this meeting. Any miscellaneous? Any? All right.